I'm very glad to be here. I just appreciate all the support y'all have given me. And, you know, grew up in Athens, Georgia. My dad was a World War II veteran, and he was brought into the Depression. And he taught me the value of hard work and the value of a dollar. And so many of those values of those days from my mom and my dad, my mom was more idealistic, and she made sure we went to church every Sunday. Y'all remember the expression, being raised right? That's what we were, you know, taught to do growing up in the South. But it was a time when every kid said yes ma'am and no sir, and you respected authority, you respected your teacher, and if you misbehaved in class, what was your biggest fear, man?
Going home.
Yeah, going home. It wasn't getting paddled, and I got my share of those installments, but it was really going home and having your dad find out about it. You know, and if you needed something done, you just got your neighbors to help you. If you needed to have to change the oil in your car, you never thought about paying somebody to do it. You got the kid down the street to teach you so that you could teach some other kid to do it one day. And you know, those days are gone, and I understand that, but there's so many lessons that you learn from that time period. My first job, my daddy put us on a clothing allowance when I was 12 years old. And basically, he was teaching us a lot of responsibility. And if you're going to dress nicely, you're going to do it yourself. And so I got my first job outside of the home selling basketball programs at the University of Georgia. Basketball programs sold for a quarter, and I got a 20% commission, so I made a nickel per program. But the big money was in the football games. Football programs sold for a dollar. That commission was only a 10%. But it was a dime per program. Now, that doesn't sound like a big concept to you and I as adults, but when you're 12, 13 years old, and you're sitting there talking about how do you make more money on a 10% commission than a 20% commission, that's a big concept. And I learned from that at that age that, you know what, the more people I asked to buy, the more rejection I got, but the more people said yes. And if you started working on Friday night, by the time kickoff came, you had $10 in your pocket. That would pretty well take you through the month. Certainly get you to the next game. But those were the concepts that we learned back in those days about working hard. Things that stuck with me all my life. And I tell you that that's what we need in Washington, I think, is that good work ethic back, that sense of being frugal. We never left the room with the light on. We never ran the water when we were brushing our teeth. And y'all may have seen my commercial with that car of mine. That really is my car. Now, we're in Merritt's car today. She has these fancy cars that can make a long, long drive. But the reality is, I've only owned one new car in my life. But I've had it for about 18 years. This is my daughter, Ann. And Ann learned to drive on that car. She's now 25. She's now a big city girl, by the way. Lives in Washington, D.C. Does all that high technology stuff. I'll give you three reasons, though, that if you could tell your friends to vote for me, it'd be really helpful. As a matter of fact, I'll give you four reasons. But first of all, I want to say, I'm a former businessman. I worked for a company called Farmer & K Carswell. It was an insurance brokerage company, called on businesses all around the state, worked 100% committed brokerage firms in the state of Georgia and 17th of the United States. I have 100% approval rating from the National Federation of Independent Businesses, and I've got the endorsement from the United States Chamber of Commerce. Five people in this race tried to get that endorsement, but they gave it to me because I do know and have stood up for the private sector. So whether it's EPA, or whether it's Obamacare, or whether it's Dodd-Frank rules on banking, or some of the crazy things that the USDA sometimes does on food inspection or the FDA, I stood up for the private sector. So I think my business experience is very important. Number two, I've represented five out of our eight military installations. Military in Georgia is a $21 billion economic impact. But you and I know the purpose of the military is to provide jobs, is to fight and win wars. And as a member of the Defense Committee, I worked real hard to make sure that our military never has to fight a fair fight. I want them to go up against any enemy, any kind of place, and us knowing what the outcome will be. We got an issue right now at Moody Air Force Base that we're dealing with, but every one of these installations from time to time has issues that come up. We need somebody in the Senate who understands the issues already and who has been to these installations. It's not my first tour around. Number three, having an ag background, I remind people constantly in Atlanta that agriculture isn't just an onion field or vegetables or peanuts or cotton. It's baking the bread at Flowers Industry in Thomasville. It's processing the chickens in Gainesville, Georgia, or it's eating the chickens in Atlanta, Georgia. And by the way, Chick-fil-A is now bigger than Kentucky Fried Chicken. Agriculture to our state is a $76 billion industry when you look at food processing, and serving the groceries. It's an extremely important industry. And we had a Farm Bureau debate several weeks ago, and every single one of the candidates in this race was pro-agriculture and pro-farm bill. Now, funny thing happened three nights later, we were in Gainesville, Georgia, and every one of them was against it. And I want you to know that wherever I go, whether I'm in Atlanta or in Climax or wherever, I'm going to talk agriculture, and I'm going to say the same thing to every single audience, that we need somebody in the Senate who understands and appreciates Georgia farmers, and I'm that candidate. And finally, let me just say a couple other things in terms of my conservative rating. I've got an A-plus with the NRA. No one in this race has a rating that high. But we've been pushing back on this registration of ammo and making everything go to steel shop and lead shot. And anything that they can throw at us to make owning the gun harder, we push back on. With the American Conservative Union, I have a 96% lifetime rating. National Right to Life, 100%. National Federation of Independent Businesses, 100%. National Journal says I have the most conservative voting record of anybody running. From Chatham County, Barack Obama won 55%. I got 53% there. I'm surrounded by very liberal politics in my home county, but I've learned it's okay to be liberal, it's okay to be conservative, but it's not okay to sit on the sidelines. You got to engage. And that's what I've done over and over again. And that's why I've gotten a lot of respect from all sides of the aisle and all parties. And I think we've got to have somebody who can transcend regional differences and political differences to get the job done. So that's my report. I appreciate y'all being here today. I appreciate everything that y'all have done to make this possible for me to come down here. And if you have any questions or comments, I'll open up the floor.
Where do you stand with the marriage issue?
I support the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. And I voted that way. Libby and I have been married 34 years, by the way. We got four children, and they're all as beautiful as they are. And they're all hard-headed, too, but they might get that from my wife. I'm not sure.
Washington is divided, as it appears to be with the mission.
Yep. The question is Washington divided as it appears to be in the media? I would say it is, but I would say it's not Washington. I would say to you, we're having a big discussion in the United States of America right now. And if you peel off the layers of the onion, two questions that we're fighting over are the role of government and who's going to pay for it. And whether it's health care, whether it's agriculture, whether it's military, it all boils down to the role of government. How much government do you want? How much governmental planning? How many bureaucrats do you want in your life? And then are you going to pay for it through taxes right now or borrowing the money from our children and our future generations? And because of that divide, it's a lot deeper than it looks. It's not just Republicans and Democrats. It's a big, big difference in how things are going to get done. You know, case in point, gas prices, now $3.60 a gallon. When the president was sworn in, gas was $1.90 a gallon. He choked off the production on the public lands for production, and now doesn't even want to build the Keystone Pipeline, even though all over the country right now. It's the safest way to transport fuel. And the president's totally against it and doing it out of partisan politics. And I mean, I'll ask y'all, do you know anybody who's against the Keystone Pipeline? I mean, I can tell you, I'm doing a lot of traveling right now. Democrats in Georgia are for it, but there are a whole bunch of folks against it, and there are other parts of the country, and that's why it's so hard to, you know, pull everybody together. Even something like that, it should just be common sense. Because it's not just bringing down gas prices, it's funding both sides in the war on terrorism when we're buying all our gas from the Middle East. But we were very divided as a country, unfortunately.
What did Joe Biden get the money to take over that country?
You know, I tell you what, with Vice President Biden, you never know really what he's up to. But one of the things that in the media that you don't read about is there was a U.S. destroyer called the Donald Cook, and a Russian plane, I think it's called an Su-24 Fencer, buzzed over a United States destroyer 12 times last week. Media didn't cover it too much. Now, how many times do you think they would have done that if Harry Truman or Ronald Reagan was president? Yeah. Once? Or probably not at all. I don't even know that they've tried. But that's why you have to have a strong defense, and you got to mean what you say when you're dealing with people like Putin. Yes, ma'am.
How are you doing?
Well, you know, the disability issue, there's two things. One of the problems with disability is there are a lot of people who are taking advantage of it. And we need to make sure that people aren't taking advantage of it. I'll give you an example. Last week, or the week before, I was in Washington, and a man, 51 years old, wanted a dollar from me. And I asked him why he wanted the dollar, and he said, I wanted to eat. And I said, well, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'll take you to breakfast. And I sat him down, and I asked him, what are we doing here? And he said, oh, we're here because I'm hungry. And I said, no, we're not. I said, why are you here? Why are you standing on the street corner and asking for money? And he said, well, you know, I can't work. And I said, wait a minute, you know, you look able-bodied. I'm not saying I'm a doctor, but this guy was strapping. He was a decent-sized guy. He wasn't overweight or anything. I mean, he was a healthy-looking guy. Well, as we talked, found out he was 51 years old and had not had a job for more than 6 months in his entire life. And I asked him, I said, why don't you get a job? And he said, I don't want to lose my disability. And, you know, we can't afford that. If you're able to, you ought to be able to, because there are other people who are unable, and that money needs to be there for them. On Social Security, there's a change in the demographics, as you know. People are living a lot longer. And if we change Social Security, you cannot do it for anybody who's currently on it or who's near-term retirees. But for like Ann, who's 25 years old, it's not going to be there for her on the current path, affected and preserved for future generations. But we can't pull the rug out from anybody who's already using it and on it. This is Barrett. He always ruins the fun.
Sorry. Why don't you be up to me?
She's the one that signed this in.
Yes, sir. The question is, what about the scaling down of the military? Well, I guess y'all can hear me okay, can you? What I worry about with the scaling down, it's easy to hollow out the military. You can do it a lot quicker than you can rebuild the military. And we're going from about 550,000 troops in the Army down to 490, and maybe as low as 440. And if you have another international conflict, you got to get people who know how to drive tanks, know how to fly airplanes. They have to know nuclear energy to be in these submarines. They got to know the language. They got to have skill sets to fight them, to fight. When you scale down too far, too fast, you can't get that fast quickly. So I'm very concerned about it and believe strongly that we got to balance it and make sure that we don't hollow it out too much. Because we have made that mistake before. When we do it, people like Iran, North Korea, Russia, they're watching it. And they're very happy when they see America step back.
That's right.
That's a great question, son. Well, let me say this in terms of this race. It's a dogfight. Seven-way race. Everybody has a pathway to victory, a pathway to defeat. We do feel good about where we are. We're being attacked by all the candidates. That must be an indication we're doing something right. But the reality is a couple of hundred votes can keep you in or keep you out of the runoff. And so what I'd really like y'all to do, if you will, take a bumper sticker. Very helpful to get the name out. If you have friends in other parts of the state, email them, tell them good things about us. Remind them that voting starts next week. Voting starts on the 28th, early voting. Final day is May 20th, but go ahead and vote. You know, your resources, your contributions are greatly appreciated. It is unbelievable how expensive it is to run a statewide race. We keep our expenses very, very low. But for 1 week of television in the Atlanta metro market, it's $300,000. And we're up against a self-funder. And so we have to close that gap and fight that fight every day. But, you know, you guys are very, very strong network, and so word of mouth is extremely important. I just appreciate y'all being there. Thank you for everything. And I'll say one thing. Next year, if y'all invite me back as your U.S. Senator, we'll celebrate my birthday again in Climax.
Please meet Jack Dean. He's here. He should be here. He's not in